Now joined on the telephone by Mr. Selwyn Manning, who's down in Cathedral Square, Christchurch. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Simon.
So you've been at the Rod Donald funeral today, sir?
Yes, it's an extremely moving event, of course, and what strikes you is just how many people from all walks of life that have turned up here in their droves to pay tribute to the man. The cathedral itself was absolutely packed with people, and it would be a guess, but there would be several thousand, at my guess, outside that were gathered to listen to the proceedings of the funeral that was going on inside.
He'd been active in Christchurch politics since he was a teenager, really, hadn't he?
Absolutely, and there are accounts of that activism that go back to when he was like 16 and again at 19, and how the newspapers down here were reporting exactly who this young new person was on the block and the ideals that he was subscribing to. And it seemed like he was turning heads, and you know, there were many, many people that were reflecting back on that time. And of course there were boards around with photographs and clippings going back right down back to that time. Rod Donald, of course, was not known only just for, and I don't mean to belittle it, but not only for his environmentalism, but also for social justice and his high ideals relating to the human condition. And that seemed to have struck acknowledgement from many people here today as well.
He was a real individual, someone who certainly stood out, not trying to sound like a smart-ass about Christchurch, but
yeah,
a man of his very individual bearing certainly would make great waves there.
Yeah, I think, you know, even from personal experience, Rod Donald seemed to have this ability to basically be there and show enthusiasm for whoever it was that he was speaking with at the time. And I guess those kind of talents and those kind of endearments are very rare in many people, in particular in politicians. And he did stand out in that way. And I know even with regard to Scoop, you know, his enthusiasm for us as a growing business was never-ending, really. And he also always had, you know, that particular advice and drive that he had. And whether or not you took it on board or not was immaterial. He would always give it. And a remarkable man in that respect. And also with media in general, he certainly touched an accord right across the board. And the media contingent that turned up here is testament to that, I think.
That has been talked about, hasn't it? His ability to get the Greens' agenda into the media and to get their message across. I mean, in the case of BFM, he'd be calling and text message me and say, would you like me to come on and talk about this on your show? I mean, he was that active.
Yeah, absolutely. And another thing, that's the same with us. So it just shows you, you know, that at all levels of contact, he must have, you know, gone the extra mile. His own family, removing tributes from his eldest daughter and also from his partner today, and the bravery that it would have taken to have conveyed, you know, what it really meant to them to have him around in their life, but also at this time where they're parting goodbyes. I mean, extremely moving event. People all over the place here were affected by it, and those would be, you know, including those that are the most hardened, I guess. There were tributes at the funeral, of course, from the Prime Minister, Helen Clark, where she spoke about his commitment to politics, his commitment to the parliamentary system, and, of course, he advocating and bringing on board and becoming the face, in many respects, the campaign to have MMP replace First Past the Post. And those types of tributes were there. There was also a strong tribute from his counterpart in Australia, Bob Brown, who's obviously heads the Green Party over there, who spoke of Rod as being well-known throughout Australia, but also the globe as well. And he read tributes from British Columbia, who absolutely idolised what he stood for, what Rod stood for. I think what came through too was that with the with his environmentalism and his ideals in that respect, that he had a pragmatism about him as well, and he knew very much that it seemed that with the progress of particular issues and social justice and foreign affairs even, that it wasn't all going to come overnight, but one over incremental time periods. And it seemed that pragmatism was attached to a long-term agenda, and he was respected from all people in the House on that. I mean, even Rodney Hyde was here, you know, from a political, economic point of view. They were poles apart, but they had a strong regard for each other. And, of course, many people were wondering, would Peter Dunne turn up? And yes, Peter Dunne did turn up.
And kept low profile, I'd hope.
Low profile, yes.
Yeah, it's just tremendously shocking, isn't it, really? I mean, it's been said a thousand times, but it's just tremendously shocking.
It is shocking. I mean, I heard the news first thing, I suppose about 10 o'clock on Sunday morning, and first impressions were is, no, that just doesn't seem right. I mean, you know, there were comments made at this service today relating to, from his wife actually, who said he was a man with a strong life force, and gee, if anybody you met was going to kind of fit in with that category, it was him. I mean, this is where this thing kind of effect has taken place, I think, with so many people, yeah.
It's tremendously sad what his family was saying about, because he spent so much time away in Wellington and because he was travelling so much, that the fact he's not around, it's going to take them a long time to realise that he's never going to come back home. It's
sad. Isn't that the saddest thing? I mean, this is what affects so many people in all sorts of walks of life, and with well-known people that have a strong regard within the population, like Rod Donald, it kind of brings home exactly that loss.
Well, I mean, it's not really the day for it, but I mean... The way that the standing orders work, the Green Party have to decide hell of a quickly who's coming in, don't they?
Yes, they do. I mean, there has been an awful lot of talk and commentary about that and what pecking order is going to be observed and whether or not Nandor is going to be the one that comes in or whether or not he's going to stand aside and let in the others. I guess it is too soon for that, and the Green Party has certainly indicated that it's too soon for that. Nandor was here today. He wasn't giving any interviews, of course, wasn't commenting on such things, and nor should he, I suppose, and people need to respect that right of his to basically have time and space to come to his thoughts and what exactly this all means. I mean, it's a terrible situation for him to find himself in many respects. The other issue is relating to the co-leadership, and once again, there's been speculation that the Greens seem to sit on this, you know, a female-male type of polar thing there.
Well, it's in their constitution, isn't it?
Yeah, it's in their constitution. So, you know, some people were commenting that Keith Lock would go in there. My understanding is that it would not be the... it would be Russell Norman would be the person that would come in as a co-leader, but from outside of Parliament. But of course, time will tell whether or not that information is correct.
In other Green news this week, Sue Kedgley, chair of the very powerful and important Select Committee in Health.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's a case of Select Committees trying to actually get as many friendly MPs as they can. As opposed to hostile ones.
This is Sue Kedgley, who likes to run the odd crusade against fizzy drinks and fast food and chocolate.
You know,
and
wasn't too long ago, Simon, that you and I were criticising on the air, I think, relating to her and her approach in health to being more keen to advocate the dangers of eating Big Macs as opposed to waiting lists and things like that. It's an interesting...
She's very much a big stick politician, isn't she? She certainly believes in government intervention, and it's going to be quite interesting to see what kind of a stamp she puts on the health.
I mean, the whole Parliament really is one of an interesting kind of dynamic, and looking forward to seeing how things map out. And if you look at how the National Party kicked off its opposition year, basically, its opposition term, it was one of front-footing things and controversial issues as well. In the same, you know, I'm speaking regarding Gerry Brownlee and his comments relating to the Governor-General and the conventions there.
Wow.
And, of course, the Māori Party trying to insert in their declarations reference to allegiance to the Treaty of Waitangi or to Treaty of Waitangi.
I'd say good on them, because that was exactly what they were voted in to do.
Yes, well, you know, and one would imagine that they're going to lobby very, very hard to try and get that kind of wording inserted into it for all MPs, not just their own party.
The people that voted for them can feel very happy that they're fulfilling exactly why they gave them the tick.
I did feel an unease when they were asked to read a second time where their heads, you know, body language bowed, basically, and from a position of mana, while they're carrying the mana of many people. That must have been a very, very humbling and difficult thing for them to have to reread.
I'm really looking forward to Hane Harahura. It's going to be great fun.
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
Great. A lot of people write him off. Oh, we're a bit windy there. A lot of people write him off as being a bit of a lout, but he's not. He's very intelligent. He's run successful businesses. He's a fantastic communicator. He, as long as he doesn't get pissed off by the the amount of bullshit that's involved in the political process, I think he's going to be quite effective.
Politically, he's sharp. I mean, he was born into it, really, with me. And, you know, what happened up there in Whangarei with Don Brash when he went over there and he says, I respect you as a man, but I do not respect what you're saying. I think that he out-politicised even Don Brash, you know, who supposedly is... getting better at it. So I think, yeah, once again, we're going to see some pretty interesting stuff coming through from this Parliament. Back here in Christchurch, I think what they're doing, they have Rod Donald's casket, and he's at a place where he used to like to go, and it's called the Warners Hotel, which is just off Cathedral Square. And he's in the garden bar there. People have been mingling and just chatting and saying their own private... in their own private way their goodbyes to him, and it was a gesture from the family to allow the people at Christchurch and his wider friends in the community to basically say their goodbyes. From here he's going to be taken and carried on to one of the red buses that the metro metro lines around here in Christchurch, and that bus has got Rod Donald written on the side, and they're going to take him to a private burial where only the family will be in attendance.
By bus, that's a wonderful touch.
It is, and it seems quite fitting in some ways. I guess it's a real bit difficult to carry his casket on a push bike. Otherwise, no doubt that would have been the mode of transport.
They would have tried.
Yeah.
Oh, well, a sad day. Well, thanks for calling us from down there, Owen.